it's Herbert. And you're listening to the About Last Night podcast, you slippery little son of a bitch.
Welcome back to the show, Giannis Pappas.
How are you, sir?
Good to see you.
Good to see you again.
Do you have any nicknames?
I got plenty of them. Robo Cheese Man, Yanni Long Days.
Let's start with Robo Cheese Man. Give me the origin story.
So Robo Cheese Man was my nickname in high school.
Nice.
Yeah, I was I was a class clown. I used to run around, tuck my dick and balls between my legs, run around and scream.
I figured that's what you meant when you started to say tuck my.
Yeah.
There's only one.
There's only one thing you could do.
Yeah.
Or if you're Greek, it's tucking your eyebrows. So you see, if I let them free, they're a little bigger. They're more caterpillary. But if I tuck them in, I actually call it tucking in your Greek eyebrows. So if you just, you kind of do that, I look a little more handsome. I'm almost handsome.
You're good.
I'm almost. That's another one of my nicknames, Yanni Almost. Because I'm like almost handsome, almost in shape.
Sure.
Almost a bunch of stuff.
Guys are great with dishing out nicknames. Did somebody give you Robo Cheese Man was it self-inflicted?
Yeah, my friend Dominic, when I was little, used to call me Cheesy Skeezy because it used to be Jan Ski. And then somehow it turned into Robo Cheese Man, probably through a lot of marijuana abuse. At some point, we would smoke weed, and I just started calling myself the Robo Cheese Man. People thought it was funny, and then my basement was called the Robo Lounge, where we'd go down there and we'd smoke weed and finger pop. It was great.
Finger pop?
Finger pop, yeah. How come nobody's come out with, like, calling something finger pop? It's a great, there should be, like, an ice cream bar or something or a candy called finger pop.
For sure, and that's what I thought it was. Yeah. I thought maybe, what is it attached to?
I don't know. Did you know how to finger correctly when you were little?
Dirty sex move. No.
Yeah, because I used to just push like I was pushing an elevator.
1,000%.
Yeah, and it was all wrong.
Oh, yeah.
And no girl said,
do this instead of that.
Yeah, I had to learn that from a French guy in porn who just fucking makes him squirt.
Oh, yeah.
Is this a G-rated? What are we doing?
No, at this point, I was going to shift gears to like, what's your favorite Disney movie? But now I think we can go ahead and...
Yeah, because I don't know. I mean, you played the Young Rock, so I don't know who's watching this at this point.
No. This is, we're open.
Do they tune in? Do you think they tune into podcasts?
I don't know. I think it's a different audience.
Yeah.
You know, I think it's, you're getting a strong family, demo.
Yeah.
And I'm, you know, my demo spans the gamut, but I would say it's more people that aren't watching network TV.
Are you fucking Seattle's favorite comic right now?
I don't know. I definitely feel like I rep the city.
You rep hard. Yeah.
And it's not, but I've been doing it from the get-go. Even on CW's Mad TV one season, CW, you fucked it up. I've said it before. I'll say it again. I wore my Mariners hat at the end of every show.
Yeah.
And people were like, dude, you gotta we get it. You know, you wear flannel, you wear the S hat.
Yeah.
You know.
I like that though. I respect the guy who reps where he, I hate when I meet people and they're like, I'm from outside Seattle. And they're like, I'm like, who's your football team? They're like, the Cowboys. And I like the Reds. It's like, dude, rep where you're from. That's your tribe. You know, Sean Kemp is your dude.
Yeah.
You know,
just chatted with him at his weed store in Seattle.
I know.
That's the dream, is to be
to have kids all over the nation.
Yes. And then,
I mean, he's like Joseph Smith.
He
could start a religion right now.
See, I always
called fucking on the road.
I once saw.
Do you have any kids in other cities?
Me?
Yeah. Because you're a good looking, handsome kid with good hair.
Think so.
Yeah.
But I feel like we've all had our moments.
Yeah.
You don't have any kids right now, do you?
I have one kid with a wife.
You just had the kid?
Just had the kid.
How old?
6 months.
Wow.
Yeah.
Is sleep just a fucking...
No, you know, that's what they all say. That's what everyone like.
That's why I asked. I feel like every guy that has had a kid that's 5 months or younger is like, dude, sleep. Kiss that goodbye, dude. Yeah.
That's like the cliche kind of parent warning. Yeah. They all go, oh man, you're never going to sleep again. But what they don't tell you is if you have a wife that votes Republican, they do most of the work. So guys, if you want to continue to do your thing, get a Republican wife.
Oh man.
Because the Democratic, you know, they're just going to be like, I'm going to work too. Yeah. And like, you should breastfeed the baby.
Whoa.
You should breastfeed the baby while I go fucking.
You have tits too.
Yeah, you should fucking, it's unfair. I'll work and you fucking cook. And it's just a headache. So if you get it, just a nice girl that votes to the right.
Good for you.
She does most of the work. So my life hasn't changed all that much. That's I've been awesome. In Austin for 4 years.
Yeah.
And I haven't even met the baby yet.
It's only 5 months
yeah.
old.
I haven't even met that baby.
Yeah, yeah. Are you a poster of the baby on Instagram? You know, you see some people posting yeah. pics. You also see some people posting pics attached with other promotional items.
No, dude.
Where I'm like, yo, I think you had that baby. For the likes.
Yeah, it's pretty pathetic. I do not do that.
Yeah.
It's kind of like cheating. It's like too much crowd work if you're a comic. Yeah. Like going like, okay, dude, everyone yep. laughs if you talk to them.
Yeah.
It's like if you post your baby, everyone's going to give it lights. It's going to get attention. Once in a while, if you're having a slow 3 posts in a row, slip a baby in
Mix
there.
Mix it up.
Yeah, throw a baby in there. Get the algorithm cooking a little bit. I mean, that's why I had the baby, really. It's just just a safety algorithm cooker.
Yeah.
Yeah, but no, some people post it. It's like the family showing your ass.
It is.
It's like if you're a hot girl and you're on the gram, guaranteed 100K. If you got a cute kid or a dog and you're posting it, you're guaranteed 20K.
Yeah,
because pussy's stronger than cute dogs.
Was that your high school yearbook quote?
That is exactly what my senior, yeah, that was exactly, if you go to my page.
Hashtag Robo Cheese Man.
Robo Cheese Man, yeah.
There's definitely something to be said about when you find like accounts for dogs that have more followers than you.
Yeah.
I remember when I first got going, I somehow stumbled upon Mark
Sorry,
Wahlberg.
I'm drinking this fucking Texas water. Everything's like, here's a canteen, man.
I know, dude. I don't know. Everything's, where did you get that from? Just a gas
station? From Xander. From my cousin. Everyone thinks he's my cousin now, so let's just go with it. He's my brother. He's my father and my son.
Because of the last name.
Yeah, we're two Pappas boys.
How many Greek Pappases are there?
It's like Johnson.
Gotcha.
Yeah, or Steinberg. It's just common.
Who was that for?
I mean, I assume.
Oh, yeah, Ray.
Yeah. Yeah.
I met a kid last night who said his last name was
Ray. Are you of the tribe? You're
yeah.
of the tribe.
Oh, yeah. But my dad's last name is Ray. Mom's the Jew. Uh-huh. That's how I soaked it up. I met a Ribstein last night. Uh-huh. And I jokingly was like, you're Jewish, right? He's like, because of my face. And I was like, I mean, now that you bring it up, yeah. But also, I don't know, though. I'm getting a vibe.
Yeah.
And he was like, my last name's Ribstein. And I was like, haven't even heard, but that's so... I love when I hear a name that's just so Jewy, yeah. You know?
It's almost like they took a word, just threw Steen on it.
Yeah.
It's like, Bookstein. Let me ask you a question. Can I ask you a question real quick?
Please.
Because I'm a big fan.
Yeah.
Oh, man. With the amount of talent that you have...
Cool.
You're a talented kid.
Thanks, man.
Right? Like you got likewise. The, you know. Huh?
Likewise. I mean,
but no, you're big fan. Like, could not have done anything but comedy and acting. Like, wouldn't that be weird if you were like selling a car and then you just broke into like a perfect fucking Robert Downey Jr.?
I mean,
that would be weird if you were just like selling sobs and then you just were like, and people were like, how come you don't do comedy? You're like, man, I love selling cars.
Yeah. Like, dude, I want you in that Hyundai Tucson more than I want to buy a house.
Yeah. You were like, boy, there's nothing else you could do.
No. I, even the times when I've thought about or, you know, when the doubt creeps in and you're just like, fuck, man, maybe it's just gonna, you know, even the first few cool things I got to do, I was like, man, what if this is it? What if, like, you don't fucking know? And then I'm just like, well, all right, what would be the thing I would transition into? Like, yeah, pull the Kevin Bacon and start a band or... but I guess he still works, so that's just more of a passion project. But, you know, something just to, and I can't even think of it. It used to be teacher, because I did so much stuff, like, you know, community service or teaching at my temple growing up. And so I was like, but even that, I just wouldn't.
You'd be too talented to be a teacher.
Well, it's just too fun also. Yeah. I just can't think of anything other than what we do.
Well, if you were a teacher, I would be like the rabbi there. And I would have a talk with you. I'd be like, Adam, we have to have a talk.
What's up, Rabbi?
I know you love teaching.
Dude, I love it. These kids are great, man. I wake up in the morning, I think about, I'm going to make their lives better.
It'll be
great.
Called Goodwill Hunting. It's a Goodwill Hunting, but the Jewish temple version. Where I'm going, Adam, you got to get out of here. I'm sorry. I love you. I know what you do. But let me be honest with you. If you're here tomorrow,
Rabbi,
I will fucking shugunuga you. I will shugunuga you myself. You go make something yourself.
I will circumcise you again. By the way, I didn't realize circumcisions happen. So can happen later, which is traumatizing.
Yeah.
As a baby, that seems like the move. Do anything to me at a baby. I'm not going to remember it.
I'm circumcised. I know the Jews have been circumcising for thousands of years. I prefer the look.
1,000%.
I think it's a chicer look.
Yeah.
But in retrospect now, do you ever think like maybe we've it would feel better with the hood, with
the
turtleneck.
You think coming around? You think like kind of the way that people are like, improv's tough. But you know how there's a, always like a changing of the guard. So it's like, you think that's going to come back?
It could come back in style, dude. I mean, look at women are dressing, they're dressing like Annie Hall now. They're dressing more like Diane Keaton. That came back. They're wearing those big stupid hats and baggy jeans, and it's disappointing.
A look.
Yeah, they look like skateboarders. I want the tight jeans, be able to make out certain things.
What is your favorite look?
Ah, jean shorts on my wife. On my wife.
Where's my on my wife cam?
Where's the on my wife cam? Anytime you say, you just go to the Yeah, fucking Daisy Dukes.
Whoa,
are the jam.
Yeah, I don't think they ever, nobody ever said like, hey, can we move on from these?
Oh, but
can we extend them down the leg?
I like Daisy Dukes on 60 and over.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, 60 and over.
By the way, you bring up a great point.
Yeah.
Is there someone, like I know people have hall passes, right?
Yeah.
Or celebrity, like if you meet this person, I don't know if you and your wife have that. If you had to have one, but it had to be over 60, that was the only way she let you get away with it. Because I know I've heard you talk about Stamos at great length.
Yeah.
And, I was dating a girl who was working in New York as a page for NBC, and she was working the SNL party, and it was tough because it was like, we both just graduated. She's over there. I was just starting to maybe think about stand-up, so I'd basically be waiting up with the time change till it was like, be 1 a.m. Her time and waiting up to talk to her just to, and this one time she's like on the phone. She's like, I got to go. Like, John Stamos wants to talk to me. And I was like, oh, cool. Tell him. And then she just goes, I got to go. Click. And I literally am just like, I bet he was already inside of her before she even hung up.
And it wouldn't have even been him making the move. She would have just put herself on him.
She
would have just plugged herself in like a socket.
He's that charismatic. Met him at the Laugh Factory once. Thought I was gay right after that. And I don't even remember what I said. He was just like, he's like, have a good show, man. I was like, enjoy your eyes. And he was like, what? I was like, I don't know.
Enjoy your eyes.
Enjoy getting to look back at those.
Yeah, he's a handsome kid.
So that's too young. That's younger than 60. So she wouldn't get that. And you wouldn't get that.
Right. That's funny, though, if you gave each other a hall pass, but it had to be somewhere.
Yeah, there's an
60.
Age
Jane Fonda's getting smoked.
Wow.
Yeah, I am cleaning her like a cat.
Good for you. That's
I am
a great.
Cracking her open and cleaning. Jane Fonda looks good, dude. I think she's like 80.
She might be older.
She is hot. Is there any way to pull her up or no? Do we don't do that on the
George,
show?
George, you mind pulling up?
I mean, fucking present day Jane Fonda will get cracked.
Present day, yeah.
Yeah.
And then while we're at it, let's take a look at the before and after.
Yeah.
Let's go ahead and.
Well, that's not Jane Fonda.
That's not Jane Fonda.
Well, I mean, that's weird. That's weird that that's what you get off to.
Oh, God.
Female MMA fighters with forehead knots.
All right, give me Jane Fonda now. All right, here we go. This is Jane Fonda now.
She's holding up, dude. I mean, look, dude, how old is she? She's like 80-something.
There's a before and after for
you. I mean, both will get smoked.
What did that say? That says she got plastic surgery. Yeah,
yeah.
Everybody does.
Yeah.
Tom Cruise has work done, I'm sure.
Yeah.
I mean, how would you not?
Yeah.
If you're doing all your own stunts, and also, like, I don't know, there's got to be something in the Scientology world where they're like,
I think when you get those thetans out, like, your spirit stays fresh. He's got the thetans out, yeah.
What do you think about all that?
Scientology?
Yeah.
I support it 100%.
For real?
I support all those things.
Yeah.
Like, that is, like, if your name's Ron, and you can get people to follow your religion, and it's about a spaceship and aliens.
So funny.
If you follow anyone with an ordinary name, I tip my hat to that person who made you follow him. Like, if you're a Mormon and you just followed a dude out west whose name is Joe, who told you he was Jesus, hats off, Joe. You're a fucking good leader. Would
Sam.
You follow a guy named Steve who said he started a religion? Would you go fuck? He'd be like, hey, all we got to do is march all the way across country and you can have all the wives you want. All the wives you want would be attempting.
Yeah.
But I mean, if his name was Steve, you're going like, your name's Steve, dude.
No, I'm going the other way.
I trust Jesus because he's got a fucking cool name.
Yeah.
Jesus, Muhammad. Those are cool fucking names.
Even Sam, Toucan Sam. People followed him because he was like, yo, there's some tasty treats in that bush.
Yeah.
Follow my nose. And they're like, all right, I think you mean blow, but either way.
Even Koresh, Dave Koresh has a good kind of thing.
Yeah.
Like, I'd follow like Sam Cassell.
Hilarious.
Be like, that's a good name.
That's
He's a basketball
name.
Player. But like if he had a name like Reverend Sam Cassell.
So you think Ron.
Joe Smith?
Yeah, dude.
Yeah, I wouldn't follow it, dude. He's also a bust from fucking Maryland.
There are certain names I think you see and you go, oh, you're wasting it if you're not an athlete.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like Dikembe Mutombo could only play basketball.
Yeah. You ever notice that about baseball names? How like baseball names, you're going like, have you ever met a Wade Boggs?
by the way. There's so many great 80s baseball names that sound like just the first, like, super dirty, like, pre-Me Too movement sex positions, moves, things you would go to, like, downtown Vegas for, like, getting a Wade Boggs or a Bobby Bonilla.
Yeah, did you pull a Steve Sachs on her?
Dude, you can get a Todd Zeal and a Brett Saberhagen for $40 at that parlor.
Yeah. Dude, there's a Ron. Have you ever met a Ron Guidry? Like, some of the names are like Goose Gossage.
Goose Gossage.
Who's got a last name Gossage?
Gaylord Perry.
Gaylord Perry. They're like baseball names.
Yeah.
Craig Nettles.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, like, it's like they're born.
Ken Caminiti.
Ken Caminiti.
Yeah.
Yeah.
R.I.P.
Yeah, R.I.P. One MVP season. When he did steroids.
One MVP, then RIP. It was
really, went from one acronym. He ran the gamut on those acronyms, yeah.
Dude, those roids are no joke, though. Fuck, man. I mean, for sure the same way that, you know, probably concussions take a toll on NFL guys. The roids are probably, I don't know. Do you think McGuire's going to see, like, do you think he's going to hit 70? Or
no way.
Whatever number he hit for home runs, which was, I think, 70, and like, something's just going to click, and steroids are going to be like, karma's a bitch, baby.
Yeah.
You use it to get to 70, but now that we're here in life, time to take away.
Yeah, that it's ironic because, like, well, not ironic, but it's just wild because that's what brought baseball back.
1,000%.
And it was just 100% cheating. It seems like baseball needs to make some changes to make that sport more exciting.
Yes.
Can I ask you a question?
Please.
If there was steroids for comedy to make you, like, quicker, would you do it? Adderall.
It's called Adderall.
Do you take cocaine?
I don't. I've never done it.
Yeah. No, but if it wasn't just opposed. Adderall, it was like.
I hear you.
Comedy specific.
Dude, I hear you, man.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, I mean, look, I'll have an energy drink every now and then, but I don't think that makes you better. That just gives you. I mean, so something that just sharpens you in to where, like, you're not missing a beat.
Yeah.
At all.
Yeah.
Like, you're hitting every ball.
I'm just saying, like, if it's for the fans. Right?
Wow.
Should, like,
that's a great question.
You know what I mean? Because, like, the fans, that brought baseball back. I mean, sure, those guys, Dick Trunk, and they'll have a heart. Ken Caminiti's dead because of it. But, like, if we're thinking about the fans and the performance and bringing it.
Having the best show possible.
You want a guy coming up there.
Taking swings.
That looks like fucking, you know, Mr. Olympian. Just, and the thing in his hand is a stick. And he's just, and if you go to a.
All my improv space work, you know.
And if you go to a comedy club, you want the most coked up.
You do.
Yeah, you want Robin Williams up there.
You do.
Yeah, you don't want a guy leaning against the wall going, so what else is going on?
Looking down at the notepad, leaning on the, yeah.
Yeah, so if we're thinking about the fans, dude, like, it's really selfish that we don't sacrifice more of ourselves.
Wow.
And our health.
Look, I think if I keep smoking weed and things do start to kind of slip,
yeah,
for sure I would consider that.
Yeah.
I don't know. I guess it would be Adderall, right? But then can you take Adderall when you're like 50 and 60? Is it not safe?
Adderall's like, it seems like it's just like it's lower level of cocaine. They're all levels of cocaine, right? Yeah. It's like, if you're going to do it right. I mean, don't have a Coca-Cola.
Yeah.
You know, that's a little jolt. I mean, have a cup of coffee. Go do a, blow a line. You're looking for a pick-me-up.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like you're just doing like versions of what you really want to do.
You said Greeks drink coffee like... I can't remember what the analogy was, but that's like...
Like Floridians do bath salts,
wow.
I think I said, yeah.
That's very funny.
I'm always picking on Florida.
Rightfully so.
Yeah.
Dude, Florida is the same place where a guy ate somebody's face on bath salts, which, by the way, the fact that we just brush that to the side still is so crazy to me, but also shows you how much fucked up shit happens in this country on a daily basis, where everyone's just like, yeah, dude, every now and then someone eats a face. That's where we live.
Yeah.
The gator eating the kid at Disney World.
Yeah.
There was a story once I read. I used to do a bit about this chick. There was front page on CNN.com, about halfway down. She stabbed her boyfriend in the stomach because he farted on his head. He farted on her head. Like, that was a story that, and also I'm like, those stories are probably happening way more often.
Yeah.
They just, and who's the one that gets to decide that they go, print it?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Because, and who's the one, who's the journalist being like, yo, I just heard there was a guy farting on the chick's head. She stabbed him in the stomach. He's in the ER right now. They're like, yeah, yeah, put that up. Versus, I don't know, another, you know, Kardashian, you know, filter fiasco.
Yeah, it's when I had a show on this network called Fusion that like lasted a year. And it was like a news program. I was like the comic relief, and there was like two real journalists.
Oh, nice.
And we were in Florida. It was in Miami. So I pitched a segment. The Daily Show, I think, ended up doing it a couple years later, too.
Whoa.
But I'm not saying they took it, because it's like, it's there for the taking.
Sure.
So the segment was like, we would go, what the Florida? Like, it was like, what the fuck, but Florida?
Nice.
And it was all local stories. So we like, and it was the gift that didn't stop giving. I mean, anytime you search for like Florida local news, yeah, it was like, you know, some woman broke into a fast food restaurant to steal chicken nuggets and left. Or like, it was the weirdest shit.
Yeah.
And
it only seems to happen there.
It only seems to happen in Florida.
What is it?
I think like Florida's like America's penis, dude. It just makes bad decisions, you know? It's like Texas is the balls,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
Like California's like the anxiety. And like New York's like the brains. And yeah, like Florida is
Vegas
like,
is the tits.
Yeah. New York and Boston, MIT, that's like the brains. Yeah. Yep. Vegas is the tits. Yeah. And the stomach is like the Midwest. Fucking, you know.
Hilarious. Yeah, what is like, Seattle? Where do you put Seattle and Oregon?
Seattle.
The Northwest.
I don't know, dude. What would Seattle be? The tears?
Hilarious.
The tears.
Wow.
Because it cries.
I'm not taking offense to that because we're very sad.
The tears,
up there.
Yeah. And it cries.
But the
yeah,
sadness has produced a lot of greatness.
A lot of greatness.
You know, the bad weather has contributed to some of the greatest athletes.
You're looking at one of them right here.
Hilarious.
Yeah. Seattle.
Were you a big grunge guy?
Yeah. I mean, I grew up on hip hop in New York.
Oh, yeah.
But Nirvana was like the, they were like, What would be the equivalent in hip hop that like made grunge pop? I mean, Nirvana's what like turned people who were into other music
yeah,
onto what was going on in Seattle.
Yeah.
I mean that dude, think about that. David Grohl was the drummer of that band.
I know.
That's wild.
Dude, so I was in Australia with Adam Devine and we had a day off and we were like, well, what's there to do? And so I just look up, I'm like, oh, there's a big stadium here. There's probably a concert here. It's Foo Fighters and Weezer. Adam's like, oh, I know the manager for Foo Fighters. I go, of course you do. He's like, I just did a Blink-182 music video. Same manager. I was like, of course they are. So we go, get the full treatment. We hang out with them afterwards. And then we're leaving all drunk. And by the way, 3.5 hour show of just a true rock star. No quit. Could have done another 2 hours.
Really?
Just crushing it. Looking side stage to us like fucking, you know, how great is this? It's the best, man. Fucking, yeah, you know. And then they kick us out, and we're like, well, come to our show tomorrow. And they do.
Wow.
Well, Dave does, and a couple other people.
Well, that's the one that matters, yeah.
1,000%.
Yeah.
We're all chumming it up, and he starts telling some Nirvana stories, and he tells us one story where they're doing a show in some tiny venue in Seattle, and a shoe, somebody tossed a shoe. People were mosh pitting, losing items, and fucking blood, and there's cum everywhere. I added that stuff, but but there's a, you know, sometimes you just feel like your story just needs a little boost, you know? And by the way, for any story I'm telling, blood and cum always is the first thing I go to.
It's a go-to.
Like, it was my dad's 60th, and like, you
cum
know,
was on the wall, you know?
He's bleeding, you know, eating cake.
I like that's your go-to story booster. You know, there was beer on the floor, cum in my face. What happened? No, your story's great, too, because Dave Grohl's there.
And he also is a guy where you go, I bet you have all the stories. And if you can remember 20% of them, I mean, I'm all ears.
Yeah.
And so he says his shoe just makes its way on the stage. Cobain is just
he put it in his arm.
Put it in his
shot
arm,
it in his arm.
Took the edge of the shoelace yes, and stuck it right there and had his shoe just hanging off. And he takes it and like it's like playing and then stops and then because it hit him. So then he just starts peeing in it and then fucking throws it or whatever. And then, you know, song ends kind of, you know, in between the next tune, doing some MTV Unplugged shit, chatting into the mic. And some girl, you know, old enough to be there, but just tiny little thing, I guess, as Dave describes it, walks up to the front of the stage and was just like, can I get my shoe back? And he was like, oh, what? And he was like, oh, I thought somebody like into the drunk chaos was just like, and here's a fucking shoe, Cobain. And she was like, no, it fell off during the mosh and somebody just chucked it at him.
Right.
And so he was like, oh, my bad.
Sorry, I peed in your shoe.
I peed in your shoe. But also like now, and then I immediately go, so if you get that shoe back, I was like, what do you do, Dave? Do you like, does the person take it? Like eBay's not around. Do you take it and frame it? Do you put it up? What would you do? If you're at a, who's your favorite band?
I think you walk home with one shoe.
But I'm saying, do you try to get the shoe back and then what do you do with it?
Yeah, because like a god pissed in it.
Do you know though that like Kurt Cobain's going to have that lasting legacy? Probably at that point, right?
Dude, I mean, yeah, you can tell by the talent. And if you're there, you're a fan.
You're this going hoping he pees in your shoe.
You're kind of going
you're
hoping.
You're kind of going like, it's dude, like, I'm bringing an extra pair just in case.
Yeah, that's almost like best case scenario of something really that can happen. Yeah, you could, I mean, what you could get for that on like as an NFT or whatever, or like on eBay back in the day.
Yeah.
You know, Kurt Cobain pissed, and like you can smell it and you confirm it. Here's the story.
You confirm it. Dave, you got to get his pee. You got his people to confirm the pee smell.
We got a scientist that says it's the pH balance is him. It's like 10% water, 90% heroin.
You got to have it at the right temperature so it doesn't go bad, yeah. right? So you can bring it out of parties and yeah. let people smell it because they'll want to. Don't have a pee-filled shoe and expect people, friends, to not want to go, well, what does it smell like?
Yeah.
What does Kurt Cobain's pee smell like?
There's no way if you get that shoe, you can resist taking a smell.
No.
There's no way.
If Oprah farted,
it's like
I would
sticking your
run
hand.
Right to it to take a giant whiff. And that's the first time I've said that and thought that, but I also don't disagree with any part of my brain.
Dude, right I now. Don't think anyone disagrees with you. I don't think we would have the balls to say that that's what we'd want to do. If you went in there and sniffed right by our ass, you'd be an American hero and everyone would just, everyone would start a slow Rudy clap and be like, that's what I would have done.
I think if I got close to her ass, Stedman would be pretty close behind with a people's elbow.
Yeah.
Just, I want to think that that's the where he draws the line, where yeah. he's like, look, I don't do much, and I don't know how he talks, but I'm assuming it's a little, he just strikes me as like a little Morgan Freeman-y, where he's just like laid back, he's got like a, yeah, you know, I just sleep on the couch sometimes.
I just pretend to be this lesbian's husband.
Whoa, you
I
think?
Get paid millions of dollars just to be her beard because our demographic is middle America, and they don't understand that.
Whoa, yeah. yeah. That's the rumor,
I did
right?
watch once him and Gail lick each other, her and Gail. She makes me call her him because she wears the pants. I tell you, she identifies God. As a her on television, but in the home, boy, she really cracks that whip on me. You know, she's the man.
Stedman got a little twang there.
I just turned Stedman into like Chuck Liddell.
Everything gets a free pass when you put a little Southern twang on it.
Yes.
Like it's almost like having a puppet. Like Jeff Dunham
yeah.
with a Southern puppet. I mean, game over.
Yeah.
Anything you want.
Yeah, you can hide anything. It's a character piece. You can just say, I'm doing a character. I was just, you know.
Your characters are fucking great, by the way. Thank I don't know you. When you started doing that, but like talk about some fun acting chops with like, and you know, that's just like, and we were talking about this last night with just act outs on stage, but I love that that's a part of your arsenal and also makes me go, oh, cool. Like, you know, if once I get to my, you know, Sandler status, which I want to be able
put
to
put me
just,
in a movie, dude.
Yeah, dude. I see that and I'm like, oh, cool, man. That would be in my Schneider, you know, Spade.
Oh,
like,
fuck, dude. I'll be your Schneider any day. Just give me one hit and let me disappear into clubs in Florida. I will, dude, give me one Deuce Bigelow. I will fucking do morning radio at Bananas for the rest of my life after that.
Yeah, dude, they're so funny.
Yeah.
How did you go? You didn't go to acting school, did you?
I didn't know.
How did you even get, I mean, just in the, you know, in trying to put up so much content, right? And doing stand-up and podcasting, where does that stuff fall into your day-to-day of creating?
Yeah, well, I was early to the kind of the internet game. Like, I created the two ones that kind of got popular were Mr. Pano, so he's like an old Greek guy.
Yes.
And that was about 2008. So like the internet like was just kind of starting.
YouTube was like 06, I feel like.
Yeah, it was like very new. It wasn't
Two Girls, One Cup was 07.
Yeah.
I'll never forget that.
That could let you know where the internet was heading, that was the most popular video.
By the way, I remember looking up at one point, I go, this has more views than Obama's inauguration speech. Yeah. Just if you want a quick little check-in on where the country's priorities stand.
Yeah, and where humanity really...
Where humanity truly stands on.
Yeah, that's really the...
But by the way, are you surprised?
No. No, because you can always hear a charismatic leader speak.
Yep.
When have you seen a video of two girls sharing a cup of shit? Oh. It might be the first one in history.
I mean...
Unless you were the Marquis de Sade, you're not privy to that shit.
The fact that those girls just went on and led normal lives after that is the craziest part. Like,
yeah,
they got in their cars, one of them checked their email, one of them maybe talked to their grandma, like, and just... You know, and do you divulge the details of your day? Probably not.
Probably not. But you know what? The flip side of that is like they probably didn't experience too many difficult things, right? Because like everything kind of pales in comparison to sharing a cup of shit with your girlfriend.
Yeah.
So it's like you have a rough day, and
you
like,
think they were girlfriends.
Well, I
think it was a central casting thing, and they met that day.
Yeah. Maybe that's something. Maybe that'll bond. They'll always share. That's a good point. I don't know the history of their particular dynamic.
By the way, if it was central casting and you didn't get that job, that stings.
That stings.
You didn't get the job. We didn't think you could eat shit.
Yeah.
Good enough on camera.
Yeah.
Hey, man, quit the business.
That'd be funny if there was a casting. I mean, you'd have to eat shit a bunch of times.
Or mime it.
Yeah.
I've had to mime eat breadsticks for Olive Garden commercials before. Hungover in a Reading Rainbow t-shirt with a sport coat.
Yeah.
And the guy had to tell me to stop referencing Jurassic Park 3 in my small talk, in my improv small talk at the table. Yeah. He'd be like, just talk amongst yourselves, act like you're at dinner. I was like, anyone see JP3? And he's like, cut. Hey, man. Like, I don't know what you're doing. You're clearly hungover. I was like, yeah, I'm, you know. Okay, so the characters are, again...
Mauricio and Mr. Panos were the two ones. So that, and then Mauricio was like 2010.
Yeah,
I had no idea, dude. It was funny. Like, I was one of the low points in my life. I had just broke up with my girlfriend. I was broke. I was having like massive anxiety attacks. And I started performing her on stage. I started like breaking into her and doing her on stage. And I sort of built the whole story. And then we just shot it in our living room, me and my roommate. And he was like my partner. We started like shooting stuff.
Yeah.
But like, and then it just took off. It was like, it was, and this was back in the day, like when it was organic, when it was like the algorithm didn't boost you. It was people sharing it with each other on Facebook.
Wasn't that the best?
Yeah, because like
Facebook. Someone could get a quick bit of traction from that too.
Oh yeah, and that's what it was. And people were, and then like, it just, I started seeing it go like bang, 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 bang. And it just like was everywhere. And then we were like, I was broke. So we were like, and we got an office where we started, you know, producing stuff, making videos. And but we were broke, we had rent. And we were like, should we try to do a live show? And this was like 2010. This was beginning of 2011.
Okay.
So nobody in New York knew this thing was kind of even like possible. It was like, we were all trying to get late night sets and all that shit.
Yeah.
And I remember I put the first show up on brown paper tickets and it sold out in minutes. One Facebook post. I added another show. That show sold out from people searching for the first show.
Oh my God.
And then I was like, oh shit. So we did like, we started doing all those shows and milked it. And I was like, okay, now I got to figure out how to perform this. And I just went there and like slowly figured. And then we ended up doing it for like 10 years. Like I still do her once in a while. And
probably request her, yeah?
Yes, there's fans who do. But the only problem is like, she was really popular in Miami, New York. And that's really about it. Little pockets in San Fran. And it's like mostly Latin people love her. Gay people love her. Yeah. They do her at like drag shows. That's them trying to go to Wall Street. They do it. They do her at drag shows. And So the problem is when I do a show and like some people show up and want to see her, but then the rest of the crowd has no idea what I'm talking about.
Right.
So it's like my shows were weird like that, where it would be like Greek people coming for him, like Puerto Rican people, girls coming for her, and like other tourists or like people who got ticketed in going like, what the? Who would?
Pick a lane, man.
Yeah.
Pick a voice and
what
go with
it. What is this, dude?
What is this? Hey, guys. Adam Ray here for the About Last Night podcast. Hope you're enjoying this episode. Obviously, it's a very difficult time for everyone right now. We're all challenged in finding a day-to-day routine that that makes our lives consistent and awesome. And if there's something that's interfering with your happiness right now or preventing you from achieving your goals, BetterHelp Online Counseling is there for you. BetterHelp is a professional counseling service online, private, and it's so convenient. I've used it for a little bit now. It's truly the only way that I've found to help get my own issues dealt with on my own time at my own pace. You can schedule secure video or phone sessions, plus chat and text with your licensed professional counselor right now. They're specialized in depression, anger, stress, anxiety, family conflicts, LGBT matters, grief or relationships, sleeping, which I have a lot of trouble with, trauma, self-esteem. Anything that you share with them is confidential. And guess what? If you're not happy with your counselor for any reason, at any time, you can request a new one for no additional charge. There's 3,000 U.S. licensed therapists across all 50 states, available worldwide. And again, there's four ways to communicate with them: text, chat, phone, and video. You can start communicating in under 24 hours. It's available on any desktop, mobile web, Android, and iOS apps. Schedule a video or phone session, generally weekly, unless your therapist schedules more. Unless you just are really not sleeping and need to get some additional chats in. There's broad expertise in the network, which may not be locally available in many areas. Financial aid is available for those who qualify. It's secure, it's convenient, it's professional, and above all, it's affordable, all right? It's truly the most affordable option I've found. So right now, all ALN listeners are going to get 10% off your first month with a discount code AboutLastNight. So why not get started today and start making some changes for the better in your life? You deserve it. So go to betterhelp.com/aboutlastnight. Simply fill out a questionnaire to help them assess your needs and get matched with a counselor that you'll love. That's betterhelp.com/aboutlastnight. Betterhelp.com/aboutlastnight and get 10% off your first month with promo code AboutLastNight. And now, back to the episode. Do you look back on that time? Because now you strike me as just a very glass half full, positive, fun, every podcast show and the times I've, you know, been around you. Even when I saw you and Chrissy D on the sidewalk over in Santa Monica, and then I'd seen you guys, I think, at the Comedy Store the night before, just real, like, fun exchanges, and I'm like, I don't feel like that's, you know, sometimes you can tell with someone when they're just like, they're putting on the happy face, because they're out and about and they're just, and everyone does it to a certain extent because everyone, no one wants to walk in and to a comedy club with their shitty energy and be like, yeah, man, my folks just split up. Like, yeah. Fucking hide that because nobody cares.
Yeah.
So, but to go through that, you said break up and then what else?
Well then, yeah, I mean, it's.
Because you brushed over it, but I was like, man, I could tell that time was definitely influential in you and obviously creatively. There's always good stuff that comes out of
bad stuff.
Having your back against a wall, yeah. And feeling like I got to get out of this rut. And if you truly are, you know, an artist or whatever, like to find something in the creating of something, you know, different and funny that's like self-serving, that can also like pull you out of it pretty quickly.
Yeah, I mean, it's like I think, you know, comfort corrupts. I think comfort corrupts. Yeah. Like if you're too comfortable for too long, it's time for a change. Try something different. And if you're forced into that and your back's against the wall, necessity is the mother of invention. And like when you're comfortable, you don't need to go dig down deep to figure something out. But yeah. When you're forced to, you figure it out. So I think it had a lot to do with it. Maybe some of it has to do with somebody looking out for you and going like, all right, this kid should, it belongs making people happy. So let's throw him a bone. I don't know. But yeah, it's, and as far as like just being positive, I it's conscious on my part. Well, first of all, I think it's because I have a happy home life. I love my wife. I have a kid, and I always just want to get back to them. And that once I figured that out, it's like, okay, this is what life's about. I feel like I can not rely so much on comedy for happiness. Whoa. Or sadness.
Is that great?
It's more like a job. It's the best. It's the best because it is just a job. You know what I mean? And it's like,
I know,
being with my daughter, being with my wife is the number one thing that I want to get back to. But I also made a conscious effort when you meet older comics. When you're a young comic and you meet an older, bitter comic,
yeah.
It's like one of the most
daunting
and disheartening things, yeah. Where they're like, ah, fuck, they got this because of that and fucking the business is all. It's like, maybe it was you, dude. Maybe it was you. So I just never wanted to be, now that I'm in my 40s, like, and I'm just happy I'm not that guy because I just say, hey, man, if it doesn't work out, it doesn't work out. Like, it's not, you know what I'm saying? This is the hardest thing we chose to do.
Yeah.
And I've already had some level of success. I've been able to make a living doing it, whatever. I don't want to get super famous. So, and we all die in a couple decades anyway. So enjoy the fucking ride.
I forget that, right?
Like Bill Hicks said, we're in Texas. Enjoy the ride.
I know, right?
Yeah.
That whole, does somebody have a famous quote about that? About just we're all going to die. There's one. I mean, I know that's like a shared sentiment. I mean, even my, you know, I think my dad said that before he left. He was like, we're all going to die someday. Fuck your mom. So
or your rabbi told it to you right before he said, you got to get out of here. You're too talented to be a teacher. Look at him. We're all going to die. Go.
Do you have quotes like that or sayings that you try to abide by? Or were you ever someone that had one of those calendars with the little daily sayings? Or how do you just, you know, motivate or
hate.
I guess self-motivate.
Hate is an underestimated emotion.
It's a driving force for a lot of greatness.
It is really, like, if you find something to hate then it really propels you forward.
Oh, there's a person in my life that I recently, you know, thought I had a pretty cool friendship with, and I'll tell you off air, and gave him a birthday present, and, like, he was like, my birthday was last week, and I was like, all right, and then, like, didn't, and then was just, other stuff happened prior to that, and then didn't even, like, and then I was like, well, I can't cancel the present. It's on its way. It's pretty cool. Maybe you'll like it anyway. And he was just like, no, don't, like, I'm not going to, whatever. And I was just like, oh, man. And then I found myself getting all, like, you know, stressed out about the fact that a grown man didn't accept a birthday present. I was like, maybe I should take a look at that, you know. But
why was he mad? Because you were a week late? Or was it other shit?
Other shit, yeah. But also this is this person. Like, right. Just very petty and a little bully. Right. And also, you know, at a stage in life where I think it's like needing to control and be a little, I mean, you know, he's, I think, about 50.
Yeah.
So I don't know if there's something there where it's like, but I don't know. What do you think is a cutoff for a birthday present?
See, I'm from New York, so.
What does that mean?
It means like we're always skeptical. I grew up in like New York when it was like bad. So like you grow up being skeptical of anyone trying to be nice to you. So my first reaction, and I'm not saying this is healthy. I'm not saying it's healthy because we're all, if you grew up in New York, you're like an abused kid.
Really?
Yeah, because it was just so bad in the 80s and 90s. But if someone gives me a gift, my first instinct is, What do you want? What are you trying to get?
Whoa.
Yeah. And you know, sometimes there's truth to that, sometimes there's not.
So you go, now I owe you?
It's a New York thing. Like you're going like, you're trying to get something from me. Whereas you go someplace else, like in Texas or these, that's just their culture.
It's just hospitality.
So that's why New Yorkers, they think we're assholes. Whoa. But we're not assholes, we're just abused. We're abused and the abused becomes the abuser.
So if someone's like, hey, you want my extra meatball? They're like, how much do I owe you?
Yeah. I'm like, what are you trying to get from me, man? Yeah.
What does that one meatball signify?
Yeah, if I was like hanging off a bridge and some guy tried to grab me and pull me up, I'd be like, wait, what are you trying to get from me? So, but the cutoff for a birthday gift for a man, dude.
Yeah. And maybe it's what is the gift? I mean, this was like a cool piece of sports memorabilia.
Fuck, that's thoughtful.
Yeah, that's what I thought. I was hoping for at least like a 2 week later, like, you know what? Yeah. I know it was kind of a dick about your timing. Saying my birthday was like last week is a very strong choice.
Right.
And very, you know, obvious in the way that you feel about the situation. But I was like, oh, maybe it's pretty cool. Maybe there'll be some sort of a, you know, if this was actually pretty dope. And
yeah.
And I'm clearly over it. But so the gift probably matters too. Have you gotten a gift ever from a family member or friend where you're like, oh, this is too much, or it's you missed the mark, or
all the time.
Because I think dudes at this point too, it's like,
but that's
gift cards or booze or drugs. There was a time I remember when it was like, you know, it might have been, you know, obviously toys as a kid, right? New Super Soaker. Then you get a little older, and it's like, oh, that razor's got 8 blades, you know. And then it was like, oh, that blow up doll's got 18 holes, you know.
18 hole blow up doll.
It's Seattle, dude. It's again progressive. Like we didn't try to.
What is that like? What was that doctor game?
Operation.
It was like Operation for Holes. You're trying to. That would be funny. Try to stick your dick out without touching the sides.
There's a kid. My buddy teaches a course in elementary school. It's called Flash, Family Living and Sexual Health.
Uh-huh.
And he said that a kid asked, I go, any great questions coming from these youngsters? Because especially young boys, just so curious, so perverted. I still giggle at the idea of when I used to watch those, they play us like the black and white. It was one of the first sex ed videos, and it was like a woman in a shower, and it was kind of like a silhouette, and then like a man walked up behind her, and like there was kind of like this, you know, just real neutral narration over it, like, you know, the woman is, you know, in the shower, you know, getting ready to, you know, for pleasure, whatever, you know, and the guy came in behind her, and I remember her like getting startled, like the silhouette stick figure kind of was like, huh, and then the guy was like, hey, is this cool? Like, and then he turned it off, and I was like, do we just watch like a non-consensual shower rape for some sort of intro to sex ed? But it was so silly because it was, you know, just seeing boobs and dicks as a fifth grader was so,
dude,
you know, not normal.
Yeah.
And couldn't help but just giggle about it. And so, go ahead.
No, go ahead. Go ahead, finish.
So Flash is this course he's teaching. And he said that one kid asked, I know there's oral and anal. This is a 10-year-old kid, but is there nasal? And I was like,
he must have a small piece if he was considering it. He's like, there's two holes here. Or either that, or he's just a horned up kid looking at ears and noses going like,
just being like, why are we wasting holes?
Why are we wasting holes?
What is
holes,
this doing?
Dude.
What are we just breathing out of this? Yeah. Is that it?
Yeah. It just made me think of like when we were, I went to a Division I school, American University, and I played basketball.
I want to talk about that.
I tried to walk onto that team. And I remember they had this, they brought us to the gym and they had this like seminar where these actors acted out this scenario because they were trying to teach us about like sexual harassment.
Amazing.
And stuff. And I was like,
it's like a troop that goes around to schools to do this. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, and you know it's not the gig they want, but it pays.
No.
You're like, ah, oh, fuck, you know, we want to really be doing Othello, but we got to go teach these basketball players what no not means.
Fucking gangbang, yeah.
And the scenario was like so rudimentary, and it's like the girl comes in, the guy's like, she's like, oh, wait, let's, and he's just like forcing him, and then afterwards, like, they're like, okay, do you guys have any questions? We're like, no, I think we get it. Like, do you understand what you just saw? We're like, yeah.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
You painted the picture.
We haven't been hit in the head with it. We don't have brain injury. Like, we understand. Like,
was the dialogue just so obvious?
It was so obvious. It was funny. Like, if you're going to have a conversation, you should sit down with someone, talk about alcohol, talk about nuance.
Yeah.
Talk about. But there was like, the play was so obvious where like a guy was like putting his hand over. First of all, it was like weird because you're like watching a simulated sexual assault in a gym by these fucking actors who you know don't want to be there. We don't want to be there.
There's already tension between them because like one of the guys is actually being a little too creepy to the girls. He's supposed to be like outside.
He's like, shit,
of the
is
show.
This for me? Or yeah. And he's like holding her over and like she's screaming going, no, no, no. And then the woman afterwards goes, okay, does everyone understand what they just see?
Jesus,
it's like, yeah, we fucking, that was a rape that you just did. Who doesn't fucking understand that that's wrong?
Oh my God.
You know?
Yeah.
Like there's no gray zone there. Guy took out a hammer, was just hitting her over the head. And then the woman's like, does everyone understand?
You get that that's not, you can't do that?
Don't do that.
What the fuck?
It was just funny, dude. It's just like,
yeah. The I don't know who organizes those programs and thinks that. I guess that you have to hit people over the head with it. Just, and by the way, what does that tell you about just the way that, you know, they trust men to not do that?
Right.
It's like we got to make it so obvious, like
right. But I don't think you learn anything from watching the obvious scenario.
No.
That's what I mean. I just
yeah. You need all the little things that aren't on the page, right?
Yeah. There's just so. It just shows you, like anything else, a lot of people do something, but it's rare to find people who are good at it.
Yeah.
You know, there's, like, a lot of comics, but it's rare you find good ones. There's a lot of chefs, but it's rare you find good ones. And with sexual assault seminars, there's probably a lot of them that are just horrible, and then you got, like, your five-star chef. Sexual assault seminars where they come in and they really show you like a nuance where she says no, he says yes, but she giggles.
Yeah.
He sees that. And then, the woman stands up and says, do you guys understand what you saw? And there's some conversation.
Yeah.
Not where some guy's banging over the head with a tennis racket. I mean.
Cause then you're just walking out being like, all right, don't do that.
Don't.
And then everything else is cool, I guess.
Yeah, don't hit people. You're like, I get it. It just reminded me, and I remember thinking like, yeah, that's I think what I learned from that. I was like, wow, most people who do something aren't that good at it.
Yeah. You know? We had a motivational speaker in high school that his three things that he wanted to preach were, he was like, I just want to talk about three things. Just make sure you guys stay motivated because high school is a really tricky time where you're trying to figure out who you are,
yeah.
But also who you want to be. And this is the time now, not later, okay? Right now. So we can get sweaty. That's what I'm talking about. Get sweaty, which means get after it. Get start making a plan. Get going. Get sweaty. Do the dirty work, okay? Don't take no for an answer, okay? If someone says you can't do something, you jump right over that fence of no and turn that into a yes. Get on the other side where the yes lives because you're living in a yes world because no doesn't translate, okay? Don't take no for an answer. Get sweaty. And the third one, do it if it feels good. If you're finding something that you enjoy and you're passionate about it, keep doing it. As long as you can do it, keep doing it. So let's review. Get sweaty. Don't take no for an answer. Do it if it feels good. And we're like, again, like a very aggressive take. Like this is the guy's describing like domestic abuse.
Right. Going like, oh yeah, I got that.
Yeah, I got.
By the way, that could be a very funny character.
Oh, just
that
the,
was very funny.
The motivational
just get sweaty is real funny. Like just telling people.
Well, because there's
get
such
out
a,
there, get sweaty.
There's a blurred line with like whatever his slogans are that are those guys too are. I don't know how many people you know that have turned into life coaches through the pandemic or even pre.
You think there's like an open mic scene of life coaches where they're going like you know they're like supporting each other, going it's a little good, man, but I think you need a little more inspirational.
Yeah.
He's like, I'm working it out, you know, I'm working on that bit. Yeah.
Wait, so you played. Did you want to go pro?
Yeah, I was delusional, dude.
Me too.
I was. You were too?
Yeah. Dude.
Yeah.
Sixth grade, I was the biggest kid, the fattest kid, but I was quick fat. So I was fast as...
Like Tractor Trailer went to Michigan. Remember
1,000%.
Him? 1,000%. Yeah, or Big Baby.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I, you know, so I had a post game. You couldn't D me up because I was just fucking too big. I shot the three in the front yard all day long, so I had that. Hakeem was like my favorite player in Magic and Barkley, so I like was always working on, you know, just post moves and just nonstop pivots. And I was like, oh, I'm going to go pro because nobody can stop me. We played this all-black team from Linwood, Washington in the first tournament I was ever in the sixth grade. And running down court after I hit this fucking 12-foot skyhook to put us up six with like 12 seconds left, dad of the opposing team are running down the court, just bouncing up and down. He's like, man, that fat motherfucker's killing us. And I was like, dude, he wouldn't say that if he didn't mean it.
Right, right.
But then, you know, you peek out at
did you, 6-1. You guys win that game?
Oh, yeah. Won the tournament, and I was just like, oh, I'm going pro. No one can stop me. No one can stop me down low. Nobody can stop me behind the arc.
Yeah.
And then you realize, oh, cool, at almost 6-1, you need crazy handles.
Yes.
You need it to just be a all-year-round game for you.
Yeah.
What was it for you?
Similar to you. Yeah. So it was like I played small forward, and then, like, I was decent, and then you get to that next level, and it's like, oh, I'm a tiny. I'm, like, barely 6 foot. So I'm like, I'm a tiny one, but I don't have any of the one skills of passing. In New York, it was all like handles. We dribbled too much.
You did.
Yeah, we just dribbled too much. None of us have shots because we grow up out playing outdoors where there's just rims.
Yeah.
So like it's like
it fucks with you a little
doesn't
bit.
Have any give for the shot. You got to like get a perfect shot to get in it. So it's like we're not shooters. We dribble too much. And but I was in high school, I played like a three. So oh, wow. I had the same situation. And then there was a few, I got recruited by two Division III schools, didn't go, went to this Division I school because my brother lived in D.C. and he kind of helped me get in. He knew someone in the admissions. And so I went to American University and I tried out, like I tried to walk on.
Wow.
And that was
that's
just,
a dream.
Yeah, it was just a, yeah. I mean,
just to say you did
the
it?
The two guard is 6'4".
Wow.
The, you know, the three is 6'7", the four is 6'8", 5'6", 9", somewhere in that range. It's just a whole nother level.
It is.
And then that makes you appreciate how good the guys are who actually make it, how unbelievable though, because this was, yep. American's a low D1 school, and that's their size. And then the difference between a mid-major, low D1, and then like those blue chip programs, you know, that make the tournament and shit, you're going like, the difference between those guys and the low D1 is like pros and the blue chips.
Oh, wow.
And then when you go to, like, Michigan, and then when you go to the pros, the difference to get to the pros is, like, you have a better chance of, like, probably getting struck by lightning.
Yeah, which you have, right?
I have been struck by lightning.
That's
shit, you did your research. I've been struck by lightning. I've been shot.
Yep.
I've had my head split open by a bat. COVID, I was in the hospital for COVID. I almost died from a slow heart rate from eating poison sausage and an old Klonopin. I mean, God is trying to whack me, dude. I've had, like, 5 or 6 near-death experiences.
Holy shit. I mean, yeah, there's a book there or something.
It's a book.
How many
legit?
How many do you get and beat like that to where you go, I truly am immortal?
Yeah, but I don't think that. I think like, oh, someone, God has a vendetta.
Like, what
I think,
did you do?
You know, he's like a cat.
Did you do something early on?
He's like a cat batting a mouse around. I'm like the mouse. Like, I've had enough.
Well, I'll be honest. What sticks out to me is getting struck by lightning, because that to me is a crazy weird fear I have. Like, when I used to go visit my grandparents in Oklahoma and there was like tornado warnings, I was like, I can't get to that bunker fast enough, or, you know, also that's where the snacks were. And again, fat kid. So they were like,
so you one of those fat kids that like finally lost weight and the girls were like, it was like that scene in Breakfast Club where Ally Sheedy walks back out when she has makeup on. And Emilio Estevez, you know that scene?
Yeah, yeah.
But you lost weight and came in and all the girls stood up and were like.
I mean, maybe a little bit. Yeah. You know, it's always touch and go still, obviously. Yeah. You know, I just had Burr on and he goes, I told him about that early on because we were talking about just getting teased as kids. And then halfway through, I tell him, I go, it's nice to, you know, chat. I go, I thought we were going to chat the other day when you butt dialed me. I go, and I picked up the phone. I go, and look, we've texted a decent amount. It's been great. I go, we chum it up at the clubs. I go, but we've never talked on the phone. I go, so I look down. I see Bill Burr and I go, oh shit. I go, you know when you get a call from someone the first time, and I start doing this, I go, you get up, you flip your collar up, you check your teeth, and Burr just goes, you really were the fat kid, weren't you? And he goes, I just saw your whole childhood. Yeah. Your snacks were your friends. All right, now keep going. And that's all right. So you thought I called you, and how did I disappoint you?
Yeah.
You know? But it was just such a like dagger into the truth of it. But yeah,
that's what probably makes you cool, like a humble dude. Because like you're obviously you got Hollywood looks, you're a good looking kid, good hair. But yeah, you're a kid who resist the Reese's Pieces. I fucking pull one out, you start sweating here. Fuck, we gotta get out of here early, I'm out of here.
The only thing I'll skip is set for.
Yeah.
the lightning thing, I mean, how does that even happen? Are you around a heavily populated, where a spot where lightning is even an opportunity, or
this
where?
Is what happened. Yeah. So,
and if you, by the way, if anything, I never want to hit on something where we've like
you can ask
new
me
audience,
anything.
But like, you know, that's a crazy story. I feel like doesn't have any.
Yeah, I don't think
life.
I've ever. I don't think I've ever talked about it on a podcast. Great. To be honest with you. So what happened with that was it was a horseback overnight at camp.
Awesome.
In the Adirondack Mountains in New York. So we're high up, and it was like a massive lightning storm. So all the horses were like, we were in the lean-tos, right? And it was pouring rain, and the lightning was coming down. And they had put a tarp over some stuff that we had. So there was a tarp over stuff. The horses were going nuts, and lightning was striking like all around us in the mountains, and it was pouring rain. And I was just always like the leader kid, the dumb leader kid. And but we were all like three or four of us were really thinking it was great. Yeah. And you're just not aware.
Yeah.
You just want to do fun. You know, when you're young, you're stupid. You don't understand the danger. You don't think you're going to get struck.
No.
So we decided,
you're invincible as a kid.
Yeah, you're invincible. So we decided to run out and get under the tarp. Right, and it was so, like, the lightning was hitting all over so much that the counselors didn't even come out and get us. They were screaming for us to come back in. We all got under the tarp. There was like four of us, and then we
can
were
you
like,
"Tell it's close."
No, we were. Where the lightning was striking.
Yes.
Yeah, it was striking like all around, but you couldn't really tell. But it was close because it was like lighting the fucking area.
That's
up.
What I'm saying, because yeah. I've only ever seen it in the sky, but it still feels close, but never. To where you just looked felt like it was...
Dude, it was like lighting up little areas close by in the mountains.
Terrifying.
And it was like lighting it up for a second. So it was close. We must have thought it was cool or fun or, you know, you're stupid.
All
so we got under the tarp and I remember we were just giggling under there. And then it was the loudest noise I've ever heard in my entire... It was the loudest thing I've ever heard in my entire life. It was like loud. And then I just remember waking up. I was just like, we woke up. And I remember this kid, Dante, was just crying, going, I can't feel half my body. And the storm was so bad that the counselors, the head of the camps were driving up to us to like see if anyone needed to leave anywhere. This was before phones or anything like that.
Yeah.
Because that's how bad the storm was and they knew it. So they happened to be coming up. They took us back. We spent the night in the infirmary. That kid, Dante, couldn't feel his body for like 12 hours. But the kids in the lean-to reported it as it was like it struck nearby and then it spread all over it, like because the water is a conductor.
Right.
So we didn't get hit directly, but we got electrocuted. It struck really close, and then it like they said the ground just fucking lit up like a snake's everywhere, and we just got charged, and it knocked me out. And I like it, this kid, it knocked out, and somehow half his body was numb for like 12 hours. He was crying all night in the infirmary.
Of course, 12 hours is long enough to go, I'm not regaining.
Yeah.
I'm never going to get to feel, I'm never going to get to dry hump, right? Because that's probably what you're fantasizing about at this age. How old are you?
I was doing a little finger squeezing.
Love
because
that.
I didn't know yet how to do it. This
right.
was like, what were we, like 12 or
yeah.
13, 14?
Yeah.
So I didn't even know to insert. I just, the first time I did it was in camp, when you put my hand in, and yeah. I just was like doing, like, I was just
like
grabbing
was
it and squeezing. Yeah.
yeah.
I was just like,
good?
Yeah, I was like rubbing it. I didn't know to go in.
Maybe this is, now you're making me think of when Trump was like, you can grab it by the pussy. Maybe that's what he meant. He was just like, look, this is how I did it, and I haven't changed.
Maybe he just stuck to what that
he
style.
Doesn't. Maybe he's never fingered. He's only grabbed.
Maybe he grabs. Maybe he grabs.
And he's so rich, they're like, you don't even have to do anything extra. You can honestly just grab it and hold
right,
it.
Right, right. Or his hands are so small. Maybe they don't even know when it goes in because he does have tiny little hands.
He does.
So maybe it's they grabbing by the
tell.
Pussy.
Maybe one girl said it feels like he was grabbing it.
Yeah.
Because I couldn't feel his
or
fingers.
Or he's so insecure he doesn't do it because he doesn't want them to feel how little his hand is. Because they're like, are you in yet? And he's full in there, but his hand, tiny little fingers.
Also, maybe he's weirdly like a germaphobe. He's like, it's gross if you put it all the way. And you have to grab the outside of it, right?
Yeah, that could be it too.
Look at us taking the devil's advocate approach to
We're
this.
Taking the devil's advocate. We're trying to look at another perspective.
Yeah.
Yeah, which is what comedy used to be.
Boy, what would you
they go, done? Now it's a statement. Now they're going like, did you hear what those two... Man. Pundits said? Do you hear what those two newscasters said on that podcast?
Yeah, yeah.
That official broadcast that official. Brought to you by nobody. Our job is to say inappropriate things.
I know.
You know? It's hilarious.
The well that's
nobody was the class clown because they said the right thing at the right time.
No.
Yeah. You were the class clown because you said the wrong thing at the wrong time.
Dude, I put a whoopee cushion and a fake ice cube with a fly in it in third grade in my teacher's coffee. after he stayed on the whoopee cushion. His name was Mr. Burger, R.I.P. 6'5", Mr. Burger, solid white hair. Looked like if you didn't get a, if he were to be like, look, if you guys all don't get B pluses or above on your spelling test, I'm going to fuck your mom. If he said that, you would be like, yep, I bet he will. I bet he will because he means what he says.
Right.
He's intimidating. He follows through. And you want to do right by him. And so,
I mean, you did.
I went out on a limb and I fucking whoopee cushion and he sat down and he goes, damn it, Ray. Said that when he sat on it. Everyone starts laughing. I knew I was like taking a big risk because I'm like, I'm going to go in the hall. I'm going to have to stand during recess and write some bullshit Bart Simpson style, which I did. Like, don't be a class clown like 250 times. And then he sits, right? That goes off. It was definitely more of a queefy whoopee cushion than a real fart. It was just like, so, you know, I wish I could remember the name of the company and like.
Yeah, call them up. But you should write a letter.
Poor advertising. Yeah. You know, it wasn't the, you wanted the classic real.
You can't send a whoopee cushion back though. That's weird. It's like, this doesn't work. Yeah. You're like, yeah, no, it's not supposed to really work.
I was hoping for a juicier toot. Yeah. but yeah, you, okay. So getting struck by lightning, you got shot. I know you've told that story before. Yeah. That, I don't, I mean, was that just wrong place, wrong time?
It was, yeah, so that was just, I was working at nightclubs when I first started doing comedy, and my friend was the promoter, so he would carry a lot of cash. So it was like an attempted robbery. I was with him, and it was point-blank range, boom, and it was brutal. But, you know, it's, the worst part is afterwards, is like the PTSD of it, like just always.
1,000%.
Yeah, because when it's happening, your adrenaline kind of takes care of you. And
you shot in the leg?
Shot in the, yeah, upper thigh, inside thigh, and the bullet lodged itself in my right ass cheek.
Did they give you any sort of like, it was millimeters away from your taint, and if you hit your taint, your cock starts working.
There's a main artery that runs down.
That's what I'm talking about.
If it hits that, it would have been bad, but it missed. It's luck.
Dear God,
luck.
Dude.
It's that George Costanza, like I was unlucky to get shot, but then lucky that it didn't hit an artery, so I'm even Steven.
You're probably going to live to 130, dude, and I'm not joking about that. I feel like to go through that stuff, like there's people that are just truly, that we, and you know, you having such a brilliant comedic mind, like that also contributes to it, where I go, oh, the universe goes, we need Giannis here for a while.
You know what's funny? I just thought, I've never had this realization until right now. The thing that's negative about it is you do gain perspective. Having like an experience like that,
yep.
And think, because there was 100% I thought I was going to die. There was no part of me that thought I was living.
From
that.
The shot?
Yeah, like it was point blank range. It's like I heard the gunshot go off. You're going like, oh my God, this is
when
it.
When you see the gun come out, are you also?
I saw the gun come out. So I was like, I tried to get into the car. He ran up, fell into the car. I saw the gun. I grabbed it and like was trying to get it away.
What?
And pushed it down, I guess, and he fired. So, and you know, it was in the car. So the noise was again, really loud. It's another loud, like, cause you're in the car, the gunpowder you can smell. And then your ears are ringing. And it's like a dream because it's all happening in seconds, but your brain, your chemicals take care of you. And it seems like longer. You're thinking about people you love. You're thinking about, oh my God, yeah.
I'm never going to get to see started. The bare naked ladies live again. Yeah. Right? All that shit.
Yeah, dude. You're just like, you're going, oh my God, this is it. I'm dying. And you do have a realization where you go, like, you think of what's important.
Whoa.
You gain that perspective, even though it's cliche.
Yep.
It's one thing to know it than to experience it.
Yep.
You gain, like, oh, man, you know, just be yourself. Like, you're wasted. Like, because you're going to have that. Everyone's going to have that moment where they think it's over. And you do all those things you did where you compromised yourself or sacrificed yourself to get something. You're not happy about that in that moment. So that's gonna happen.
Wow.
Where you go like, wow, that wasn't worth it. Wow, you know, that's not the real currency. That's not, you gain perspective. What are the important things? The true currencies, my friendships and relationships. That, you know, all this other stuff is like doesn't mean as much. Especially compromising who you are, because that's all you have.
Yeah.
That's who you're here to be you. You're not here to like be who that person wants you to be or that person. And you feel that in that moment. And I'm not lying. That's what happens. So the bad part about it is, the downside is like, you know, you kind of don't want to know that. Especially if you're trying to make it in some fucking business where you got to fucking pretend that you care about shit.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like you kind of,
oh yeah, you
it
don't
probably wanna hurt my career where I'm telling people to fuck off because I know it's not important because I'm living for that moment. But it's like, I could have probably been a lot farther ahead if I didn't fucking get shot. Because you gain that insight, and like, I didn't care about impressing agents. Like, no. All those things I just didn't do, which are not that big of a deal. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes I'll say too much of what I think, or, and it's like, God, just play the fucking game, Yanni.
No, yeah, no, I don't. I think anyone that has, I mean, and this is why I wanted to ask.
I mean, I wish I wasn't available to do this podcast right now. That's what I'm trying
to say.
I hear you. I'm just like, sorry, I can't, man. I'm with Ethan Hawke right now. And we're working
well,
that's
always a good excuse. Yeah. And even if you weren't,
I love Ethan Hawke, yeah.
Favorite actor?
My favorite.
Wow.
Yeah, my favorite.
I could tell from the way you dropped that reference. If you said like John Lithgow, I would have been like, also great.
Yeah.
But
yeah, Ethan Hawke, number one for me.
What, favorite movie that he's done?
All of them, dude. Training Day, I can watch whenever it's on. But obviously, I started early with Dead Poets Society.
Come on.
Then the Three Linkletter, Linkletter trilogy, yep. Boy's Life. But I fell in love with that, the trilogy. I love it. It's like, you know, a good friend of mine, once called it, it's like a romance movie for guys.
Yeah.
Is like Before Sunrise, Before Sunset, and Before Midnight. They're perfect movies. Yeah, I know. I'm like, I should have a dick in my ass when I'm saying this. But I love those movies. I love Linkletter. You love them too?
Yeah.
Yeah, and he fucking fights. They're dope, right? They're so good. And he did them every 9 years. He's done three movies every 9 years apart. And they're all perfect.
Hey guys, Adam Ray here for the About Last Night podcast. I know some of you guys are sleeping on some saggy ass, old piece of shit, fart filled mattresses at night. And guess what? You deserve better than that. So give yourself an upgrade. Helix Mattress is the best mattress on the planet. Why do I know that? Because I sleep on one. They gave me one. I love it. They support the pod, so we support them back. Helix Sleep has a quiz, right? This is how you know they're legit. It takes 2 minutes. Everyone else is like 5 to 35 hours. This quiz is 2 minutes long, and when you complete it, they match your body type and your sleep preferences to the perfect mattress for you. And that's very important. That's special because you don't want a mattress that's made for someone else. You want one made for you that's soft, medium, and firm, which are all the types of mattresses they have. They even have mattresses that are great for cooling you down if you sleep hot, which I do. I've always slept hot. I wake up with meat sweats, beet sweats, feet sweats, all the sweats, and it sucks. But the mattress I got cools my body and my taint down so I can wake up feeling refreshed and rested. I sleep on my side, my stomach, and my back a lot. I move around a lot. So the mattress they hooked me up with has really been incredible. It's the King Cali, and I couldn't have asked for a better place to rest on. If you're looking for a mattress right now, which I know we all are, we're all looking to upgrade our sleep situation, take the quiz. It takes 2 minutes. Order the mattress you're matched to, and the mattress will come right to your door, shipped for free, which is the best part because shipping can add up. You don't ever want to go to the mattress store again, and we order everything from our homes now. We watch things from our homes. There's no reason to leave, and the quarantine probably added to that. You get accustomed and conditioned to not having to go to places to get your shit. And who wants to haul a giant-ass mattress home? No one's got a fucking 2x4 truck. Just go to helix.com/about. Take that 2-minute quiz. They'll match you to a customized mattress that'll give you the best sleep of your life. They also have a 10-year warranty, and you can try it out for 100 nights risk-free. If you don't like it, they'll come pick it up. Helix is offering up to $200 off all mattresses and 2 free pillows for my listeners if you go to helixsleep.com/about. That's helixsleep.com/about for up to $200 off and 2 free pillows. So do it. Start sleeping better because you deserve it. And now back to the episode.
Do you think people like need to get shot or struck by lightning? Do you think everyone needs, like, just the way I think everyone needs to travel abroad, right? When I did that in college, I was like, oh man, I didn't realize the bubble I live in the States, and just getting out to gain some perspective.
Yeah.
So that's why I feel like you have, having a shortage of perspective, I feel like is what a lot of people suffer from and don't even know it. And so, but then I hear what you're saying, where you're like, I have too much perspective.
Yeah, well, that's the funny part.
Like, my perspective tank is overflowing.
Yeah.
But do you think, like, just the way I've heard Burr say, and by the way, that's, I think, the third time I've mentioned his name, so drink five if you're playing the Bill Burr drinking game at home. but you know, about, he used to have that joke about getting punched, how people need to hit, to have the reset button hit, and to be let known that you aren't, immune to whatever.
But I think there is something to be said about like people needing to go through something like that to shake them up a bit.
1,000%. And the challenge to that is, it's like, how do you make sure people have that experience? I did social work for 5 years, and I always thought—
My mom did.
Your mom did it too? I always thought that—
That's awesome.
Yeah, it should be part of a college curriculum for everyone. It should be like, you have, like one of the classes you have to do, not like pick up fucking rappers on the street. You know what I mean? Not like do community service.
Right.
I'm talking about like social work.
Yeah.
Where like you go, you work at an SRO like I did, or you assist at a homeless shelter or something like that, or you big brother someone, or something that gets you out of like a kid thinking about him and the things I want and the toys I want. And also to see these people as human, to see that, you know, it's not all about self-reliance. This guy's got a mental illness, or his, a lot of times it was like family that they didn't have, and you start to, it humbles you because you go like, yeah, you know, if there was those few times that I didn't have my family, I might have been homeless too. You know what I mean? Like when I was down on my— You do gain perspective, and the only way you gain that perspective is through experience. That's the challenge. Because I could talk to someone all day about, this is what I learned from this experience, this is the perspective. But nobody, you can't feel it until you learn it for yourself.
Yeah.
So that's the challenge to humanity. How do we get people, maybe now with simulation and computers, we could simulate it. So
is there like a game where we're like, can Grand Theft Auto have a thing where like you can
be an empathy game or something?
Yeah, where you get struck by lightning at a horse camp or—
It's just like, you know, we all do it to each other. It's like New Yorker stereotypes Texas. I thought when I got here, like fucking Leatherface was gonna pick me up and fuck. But it's like, these are great people, dude. They're just great people with guns on their fucking waist. Big deal.
I know.
And then you go to New York, you know, they stereotype us, but it's like, we're all just people, you know? You're from Seattle. I thought it was just a bunch of fucking, you know, people who have rain on their head all the time. And just like, you know, eat coffee scones and fucking read books from vintage stores. But you're actually
a lot of that.
You're fucking sports fans. You guys are normal folks.
Oh, yeah, dude. We fuck, we eat, we, you know, don't blinker when we merge, you know? There's people like, it's a real progressive. Everyone just lets you in on the freeway. I was like, dude, I could give you 30 examples right now of people I almost just rear-ended or just somehow bullied off the bridge. What's the last movie that made you cry?
And I just want to say, if you extrapolate that out, like from the jokes, it's like you meet someone who's Muslim, you meet somebody in Africa, and you realize, oh, dude, and especially comedy is the best way. That's why the assault on comedy now is really troubling, because comedy's the only thing besides music that brings people together,
1,000%.
That laughing, and like you're assaulting that. So it's like, that's the thing. That's where we're venting how horrible this life is.
Yeah.
And how that's the thing we have in common.
Yeah.
Is we're all on this ball going like, where the fuck are we? And we're up here going like, yeah. And we're making you feel okay about that.
Right.
So it's like, now they're trying to end that. So it's like, dude, that's not a good sign. Sorry, this is getting like—
No, this is great.
Yeah, but that's great. That's great.
I have so many more things I want to ask, but we got to wrap this up. No, it's great, dude. I wanted to be silly as much as possible, but you have such great takes on, also that we got that there organically, and I didn't want to skip over the opportunity to break down, like, again, man, getting struck by lightning is a fucking, what are the odds? 1 in 20 billion?
Yeah, it was weird. It was, you know,
more than the lottery, more than like,
I don't know if people been electrocuted like that, and we didn't have socks or shoes on either. So it was like, we got hit.
Like, you probably have a better chance of Tony Robbins showing up to your kid's school in 30 years, selling butt plugs and Jolly Ranchers that taste like butt plugs, than you do getting struck by lightning.
You sure? Because I don't know how long this gig's going to last for him.
That was a bad example.
Yeah,
you're right. He's doing the Zoom conferences now.
Yeah.
He'll get back to live in the flesh in the ballroom, but you know that even that's going to run its course.
For some reason, I could picture Tony Robbins showing up to my kid's school fucking—
With a side hustle.
Just a side hustle, yeah.
Yeah.
But I get what you're saying.
Yeah.
No, it's rare. I've had some rare experiences. Very few people you know will have gotten shot, but I mean, if you're in Texas, you will meet people who have shot people.
1,000%.
Yeah, that's more of a common occurrence here.
Oh, it's like, you know,
it's like every other person here. It's like herpes. It's like 1 out of 5. You know?
There was a kid I met in Bloomington, Indiana once. It was one of the
Larry
second
Bird?
Rooms. Hilarious. I wish. I'd love to meet Larry Bird. I'd love to fucking play a game of horse and have some beers in the back of a truck with Larry Bird.
Yeah.
That's on the bucket list.
Yeah.
This kid was in Bloomington, Indiana, and he's like, you know, 1 in 5 girls in this downtown have an STD. And he goes, check it. 1, 2, 3, 4, herpes. And points to his friend. She goes, hey. And he was like, you know you got that shit. And she was like,
Yeah. Fucking drank it, and I was like, yeah, I guess it's...
Well, if you're from Bloomington, Indiana, I think who has herpes is your second biggest problem. The first one is I'm in Bloomington, Indiana.
Oh, dude, it was, yeah. The true... Bloomington and Butte, Montana are truly a couple of the buttholes of America.
Yeah.
Where it's like, you need it, you know, like they're moving and shaking in the right direction, but...
What's the worst place you think? What's number one worst fucking place?
Butte was pretty bad.
Gun to your head, somebody says, Adam, if you don't tell us which place we have to nuke off the planet, we take you.
Oh, wow.
So you're under fire. You got to choose a spot.
Great question.
People are going to die,
it's
a place that nobody's going to miss.
I could see you hosting a game show where these are the types of questions.
It's a dark one.
I'd watch. Maybe there's some briefcases, money involved. I don't know. We can, you know, get in the writer's room, but...
Call it Sophie's Choice, where it's always like you're always losing something or gaining something. One of the kids has to go.
Wait, host. Now, yeah. Now, is there somebody named Sophie that is like a sidekick with you? Or is there like a kid named Sophie that you always check in with? The way that they would go to the guy, the way that Howie Mandel would go up to the mystery silhouette to be like, you know, what's going on? Should he make the deal? Or can we put more money in the bank? Is there like...
Absolutely, because of this face. So the sidekick's obviously going to be... trans, Hispanic.
Let's hit them all.
African American.
Yep. Dwarf.
Taiwan. Dwarf.
Perfect.
Non-binary.
Thank you.
Non-binary, half animal, half human.
Yep.
Half breeze
some
in the
antlers,
air. Yep.
Yeah.
So it's a whole, everything's covered. Oh, sorry. South Asian. I forgot South Asian and Asian. I forgot
gonna,
South Asian.
We're going
to
get there.
Yeah.
Man, I would Butte's at the top of the list. Also,
ooh. Got to pick one, man. The worst place where you were there and you're like, this place, it made you angry how much it sucked.
Rosarito, Mexico.
Wow.
Really, I had a pretty negative experience there on a little trip in college. Boy, but I guess it was got better towards the end. No. Oh, man, there's a place in Washington State called Yelm. They suck. Tyler, Texas.
Wow.
There's a kid I used to live with named Todd Hale, rapper named T.O. He was a flamenco hip-hop guitarist. He lived with me. He wouldn't pay rent. He challenged me to fight at 4 in the morning after he watched a UFC fight and was fucked up on Patron. I'd come in from open mics at like 3 a.m. He's like, you want to fight? And I was like, nah, man, I usually cut that shit off at 10. And then he's like, you're a pussy. And I was like, for sure. And I'm going to bed. It's 4 a.m. I don't want to fight in the living room.
Right.
And he was from Tyler, Texas.
Fuck that, dude. He's
fuck T.O. and I think fuck Tyler, Texas.
Because of him. It's not your fault.
It's not, no.
He was repping his town and his town's got to go. When they go, why, you go, you ask Tyler why.
Ask
T.O. why. Yeah.
T.O.
Yeah.
And by the way, most people I tell T.O., I go, yeah, he's a white dude from Tyler, Texas. They go, get the fuck out of here.
Yeah,
T.O. But I will say this, brilliant guitar player. Flamenco hip-hop, crushed it.
He did.
Yeah.
Now, how would you blow the place up? You know what I would do? You know what I would do if I was you?
Yeah.
If I can give a suggestion?
Please.
Just to fuck with those people's head?
Yeah.
Tyler, Texas is like a small-minded place, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So you got to fuck with them a little bit, right? I would do weather. So then they go, right before they die, they go, I told you fucking Jews control the weather. Perfect fucking way. So they're going, I told you. So even in their last moment of death, their ignorance is, they die ignorant.
Oh, wow. That's brilliant.
You don't want them to have any enlightened moment.
Fuck
or
no.
You want them to think that's...
The way they've been thinking.
Yeah. You want them to just die going, I told you, man. I fucking
Jeez, when it's hailing, that's the fucking, those are fucking frozen matzo balls.
Which, by the way, I always thought, like, what would the Jews have to gain by changing the weather? Who wins in that, like, how did that conspiracy, the first person who thought of that conspiracy, how'd they go, like, what were they gaining?
I don't know.
What was, like, the gaining? Was it, like, I told you, man, it was, like, the guy wanted to play baseball that day, and it rained, and he's like, I'm telling you, man, these Jews don't want us happy. Dude. They want us playing baseball.
What happened to you that where the Jews, got so heavily involved in your day-to-day where you thought that the weather was going to be the thing that they were?
Yeah. And what does bad weather do to you?
Also, the space laser one's real crazy.
What's
but
that
more
one?
Feasible. What's that gal's name? Labia Majora.
She's my favorite. Are you talking about Marjorie Taylor Greene? She is a towering intellectual in the Congress. I love her. She's the CrossFit chick. Her eyes are closer together than mine.
Yeah, she said that Jews have space lasers, and that's how... I think that's what was causing global warming.
Yeah, well, she's got to the bottom of that.
Yeah. Yeah. Real. Also, those are just
Dude, do you understand, she's in Congress.
I know.
I mean, we're in a weird place right now. Caitlyn Jenner is running for governor
of
California. Yeah, no, we're in a weird... It is this absolute circus right now. Maybe that's why they're attacking comedians so much, because they can't identify comedy anymore because the world has become comedy.
Yeah.
So it's like they think we're making statements because comedy's happening in life. I mean...
What is that called? Where, I guess, life imitates art... I don't know, where it's becoming so...
I would call it the end of an empire. Yeah. I would call it... It's absolutely the end. Yeah. There's no, this is it.
Do you think she'll win?
She'll probably win. Of course, it's all about...
We've got to balance the budget.
Yeah, it's all about name recognition. Now, it's a fame game, so it's like The Rock would win. He flirted with that on Instagram, sure, saying, like, it would be my honor. And you're like, are we going to have The Rock as president?
I don't think it's out of the question. I don't know. And you look at that Kardashian fan base, man.
Like, they could win. It's just about Instagram followers, dude. I think one of these TikTok kids can be governor of fucking New Mexico. Why not?
Holy shit. What if a TikToker becomes president?
Instead of a speech, he just fucking does the sh on the N-word and dances. You know what I mean? And it's get like 18 million, and we don't even talk in words anymore. We just dance at each other.
All the press conferences are just like, vines.
Just quick dances. Yeah.
All right. When we wrap this up, I want to do something that's a fun way to close this out. Since James Lipton is no longer with us, and I feel like at some point you would be on Inside the Actor's Studio, but since we didn't get a chance to do that, it was inevitable. We're going to do it here right now and go through Lipton's 10 questions.
All right.
So here we are back with Robo Cheese Man. What's your favorite word?
My favorite word is two words, on notice.
Great. What is your least favorite word?
My least favorite word is vegetables.
For real?
No, I just don't eat any vegetables.
You don't?
No, I'm a horrible diet.
Against them?
No, I want to eat more. I just
they suck.
They just don't have that appeal.
Nope.
That they need.
No, like, tastes good.
They need a better publicist or marketing or something, dude.
Hey, salad. Who's repping salad right
now? Yeah, it's just like they need a manager to come and just slip a business card and go like, hey, man, you got the talent. I don't know what's going on here. You might have bad representation, but...
You got the colors,
dude,
man.
Dude, I mean, yeah. I mean, Cauliflower's got a good PR person right now. Yeah. It's making a huge comeback, dude. Cauliflower is popping right now. It's on pizza. It's in buffalo sauce.
Yeah.
It's rocking. But like Brussels sprouts are kind of coming up.
They are.
With the...
great app at a steakhouse.
Yeah, the cooked Brussels sprouts. Yep. Broccoli needs to figure something out.
Broccoli's just kind of resting on the idea that, like, look, we've been here. You know what we do. Yeah. Like, it's almost like when you see an Oreo cookie commercial once every 6 years, you're like, yeah, that's, you don't need to do them any more frequent than that because we know who you are.
Right. Solid classic. We know what you bring to the table.
Yeah. But broccoli, you need a little something extra. Like, get back with Velveeta, get some of those slow-mo, you know, melted cheese shots.
That it needs to get back in the
game.
That
was the original money shot.
Yeah.
Melted cheese over broccoli.
On broccoli.
What turns you on?
Turns me on. My wife. Wife cam.
Great answer. Moving on.
Hot women.
What turns you off?
Nothing more beautiful on this planet than, I mean, it's just the best. Number one. It's just number one.
What's that?
It's just a whim. The way they're formed, like it's their whole, like to look at them.
The and best.
They're just the way nature has designed them to be coveted. It works.
I feel very lucky and fortunate to be around when women are here.
Yeah, and it's just, you know what makes me feel bad, dude? It's like nature's not perfect.
Yeah.
And I'll explain it to you. This is the problem, okay? Because we would be a better society if we could get past the fact that hot women are what we want. Because that's not gonna pass down smart or sensitive genes.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? It's like, there's always a nice, smart girl, but we always pass up on that for some like vapid Instagram model. And like, we'll do it every time and it's not our fault. Mm-mm. It's because nature has us programmed for that, right? And the reason is because we know, nature somehow knows that if there's a famine or a war, that girl can sell pussy. This girl will never be able to sell her thesis in Belarusian literature. So if times get horrible, that one's more reliable. And that's why hot women continue to dominate, is because they are reliable in hard times, and that is good for the survival of the species. You're welcome,
dude.
Fucking biology with Pappas.
I'm going to say, I take your class. You also got my vote. What turns you off?
What turns me off? Guys, if they don't have a wig on. If you got a wig and, you know, you're wearing a bra, yeah, it's like a Beyond Burger. I'm fooled. I mean, trans women, look, dude, if I'm fooled, if I see a trans woman, it's like a Beyond Burger.
Yeah.
Maybe I want a break from meat.
Yeah.
But I still want a burger.
That's going on stage tonight. What's your favorite curse word?
Yeah, maybe I'll do that on stage. Yeah. Favorite curse word is definitely malaka, which is a Greek. Malaka's, the Greek curses are incredible.
Sounds fun.
Yeah, malaka means like the champion masturbator.
Great.
Like the number one, like the Michael Jordan of masturbation.
Awesome.
He sits around and just jerks off all day, like a jerk off to the highest order.
Do you have that guy?
Who's a jerk off? Trump was kind of a jerk off. Like,
oh, jerk. Okay, so I thought there was an actual number one masturbator.
No, well, that's the curse. Like, it's like the curse is like you're a malaka, meaning you're the champion masturbator, like the number one jerk off.
Oh, number one jerk off. Yeah. Okay, I thought you meant there was like literally again a legit guy that got famous.
From
like,
jerking it.
You know, he was like, you know, 45 times a day. That's, you know.
Why would not?
Giannis,
why,
you know Giannis?
Yeah, why would we not make the Olympics funner by having that? Why would that not be a sport?
Yeah.
Why not? Like, that's, you just came up with the dopest sport. You took the malaka and like, boom, let's do it. How many times can you jerk off a day?
Guess what? ESPN2 would be
chomping. Dude, that would be dope. That would, I've
tuned. Oh, we don't have to air
I would fucking tune into that before women's basketball. You kidding me?
I mean, there's so many things that I think that, I don't know if you could put it on network. It'd probably have to go streaming. Maybe that could be the thing that PAX makes a comeback with.
Yeah.
Remember PAX?
PAX, maybe. Yeah, there's a few networks that
PAX had like a couple softcore porns late night, I think.
Revolt TV or something.
Yeah, Revolt TV.
But that would be a real talent, a guy who can like multiple.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What sound or noise do you love?
What sound of noise do I love? My baby girl laughing is the greatest noise I've ever heard.
That's fucking a great answer.
Yeah.
What sound or noise do you hate?
Sound or noise do I hate? My wife's voice.
What profession?
It's a joke.
Of course. What profession other than your own would you like to attempt?
Porn star.
For real?
If I could.
Yeah.
I mean, those dudes, their blood pressure must be so low.
Have you met porn stars?
No.
Yeah.
Yeah. But they there's no need ever for blood thinners. Their blood pressure is low. Their job is to fuck and come. Yeah.
I was going to a Passover Seder at my aunt's house in Chatsworth, and Brad Williams hits me up and goes, do you want to come by this porn set? I'm going to go by. I got invited by a porn star. And I was like, I mean, I'm on my way to the Seder. I got time to kill. I should probably show up with some stories. So I go, we walk in, guy in underwear opens the door, scratching his balls. It was like definitely in like a weird warehouse / office strip mall type situation where there's just a bunch of doors close together and they all lead to trouble and problems and STDs. And I open the door and we go into the back room and there's like a couple girls. There's a guy with like a little steady cam, almost like MTV, you know, Unplugged back in the day or whatever, like the spring break shit where he's doing like crazy camera angles and zoom ins. And they're on this like, it looked like a little raft. And one of them's just like playing with herself. And the other one was like putting a dildo in her. And I go to Brad, I go, should we like start clapping or something? Should we like make no, like I feel bad just watching and not like, you know, they're performing.
Yeah.
Like I felt again, like, you know, and the people at home watching, they can't, you know, get an immediate response. And then one of them sees Brad and like starts talking to Brad while she's like playing with herself.
The appropriate thing to do is like, if you're watching a comedy show, you laugh. If you're watching like at the end of an opera, you clap. But I think in that situation, you start jerking off. That's like
that's the clapping
watching what they were doing.
That's really funny. Yeah, it was. I don't know if I'd go back. It was definitely like it took a lot. Because then there was a girl in the lobby and she was like complaining to the guy. She was like, I can't do. And he was like, why? What's up? And she's like, I'm just super itchy. And he was like, well, just fucking, I don't know. Well, what do you want me to do? Did you use the stuff? She's like, yeah, can I just do it tomorrow? She's like, fuck. And it was just such a weird, real conversation.
Right.
Where I was just like sitting there, like reading texts from my mom, being like, did you want chicken tonight for the, you know?
It also kind of takes you out of the fantasies, like when you think
1,000%.
About, yeah.
Seeing how it's made.
Yeah. When they're like, oh, okay, can we just get this shot and I'm out of here? And then they go, oh, yeah, daddy. Fuck me, daddy.
Yeah.
Yas, daddy. Yas. Yeah. That, like, dead. And I love that yas, daddy, with like their eyes are dead. They're just going, yas, daddy. Yas,
like,
daddy.
I thought you really loved this.
Yeah. Yas, daddy. More, daddy.
You're faking it. What profession would you not like to do?
I definitely wouldn't want to be a cop right now.
Yeah, great answer. If heaven exists, what would you like to hear God say when you arrive at the pearly gates?
No Turks allowed in here. These are jokes. You get what I'm talking about, my Greek brother over here.
Giannis Pappas, you got Let Me Be Giannis and Blow in the Light of your specials. You got a Comedy Central half hour, which is very fucking funny.
Thank you, dude.
It's one of the few I watched. No joke. It was
Thank you.
Fucking really great.
Thank you. And my podcast, Long Days.
Yes, your podcast, Long Days. And your Patreon, I know, is
Patreon.com.
Crushing it.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Patreon.com/YanniLongDays.
What do people get with the extra goodies?
You get a bonus episode every week on Wednesday at the lowest tier. Then you get videos, all types of character pieces at the tier after that. Then there is I'm starting a $5,000 tier where I will come over your house and record an episode of Squeaky Clean in your bathtub with you, bathing suits on. Only if you're a guy.
Holy fuck.
Yeah, because my bonus episodes, they're called Squeaky Clean. I do them in bathtubs. So when I go to hotels, I make sure the hotel has a bathtub so I can record an episode in a studio on the road.
You fucking.
I do my fucking bonus episodes butt naked.
You're brilliant. You don't need the business. You don't need
fuck
the agency.
All
the, I mean, dude, yeah. I got to get a Patreon going. That's fucking brilliant.
You don't have one?
No.
You do one episode and then a bonus.
I mean, and you just mentioning all the character stuff. I mean, that'd be a
home run. You're made for it.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Dude, what a great idea. The bathtub. Dude, has somebody bit yet?
The funny thing is.
Done a $5,000?
No, but people are talking about it. But the funny thing is, like, I started it and I was going like, this is probably not a good idea. Like, it's not going to work, right? You hear the water running and stuff. But like now people are like hopping in the bathtub and listening to it. And it's just funny to see like fans posting videos with their feet, like moving in the bubble bath and you hear my voice. Cause like I encourage them. I'm like, take a bath while you're listening to it, while I'm in a bath. It's just fun.
That's amazing.
And so Squeaky Clean has kind of worked. It's kind of working. It's just something I thought was funny and fun. And so I just tried it and like it worked.
And there could be a scenario where you go to somebody's house and you guys have such a great time. Where
yeah.
You're like, I might start a secondary podcast with this stranger.
Yeah. In the bathtub. Yeah.
That's brilliant, dude. Yeah, what a fucking crazy business.
You got to start a Patreon.
Yeah.
Yeah. You have to start a Patreon.
Well, I haven't investigated people's tears or heard about them like that, but that's, that makes me go, oh yeah, there's truly anything. You can set the rules and tears and
you look at a lot of guys on Patreon. I mean, with the hyenas, we were making we were doing great. And then there's the few people who are killing it on there.
Yeah.
The thing is, like, Patreon is just a great option to go straight to the fans and have them to subscribe to your comedy, so you're free to be funny.
Yeah,
you don't have to worry about any sponsorship or whatever. It's cathartic if you have comedic urge. The urge to just let it go.
Yeah.
That's what it is now. And you know, the reward is like, I don't even think you could make, unless you're like three or four people, I don't even know if you could make that type of money on TV anymore that you can make potentially on Patreon and your podcast and ads, et cetera.
Yeah. You know who has a great Patreon? Pete Sampras. Now, what I really want to quickly say before we end this is you on Tiger Belly with Bobby Lee pretending to be Pete Sampras to Kalila's mom.
Yeah.
Was one of the greatest things I've ever seen on any podcast because I'm a big tennis fan and fucking, I love Sampras.
Yeah.
And that was so fucking incredible. And then I'm just like, what's the voice? And then you start talking and it was like, it was all tune and tone, but I was like, you're also not wrong with the voice. Like it was very, you know, like, and how would she know how Pete Sampras sounds on the phone?
And she believed it. She thought it was him the whole way through the phone call.
That was unbelievable. You made her, she doesn't know that it was.
I don't know what they did after I left, but they may have just not told her and just kept it going for fun.
That's the move.
Yeah, I hope they did that. Yeah, because Pete Sampras, and that's how funny is that her mom loves Pete Sampras? How
it's
random
very
is that?
Specific.
It's very specific.
Yeah.
And then when I pretended to be Pete Sampras, she freaked out.
Yeah.
It's like, oh my God, I love you so much.
Yeah, like if my mom was like, if Post Malone called, I would fucking just start playing with myself. Like, I'd be like, that's a very odd choice of someone to be a big fan of, but like she loves Bette Midler. That makes sense.
Right.
So I'm trying to work on a Bette Midler, see if I can just for her birthday call her up, you know.
Is Bette Midler on Cameo?
Yeah, but there's no, I mean, if she is, there's no way that's affordable.
Yeah, that's definitely.
She's going, I don't want to do this. Someone at Cameo, maybe I used to fuck, so I'm going to hook it up. I'm going to get on there, but I'm going to set the price so high that nobody ever asks.
Yeah, dude, she's like, her price is like gay icon level. Yeah, that's like her, you know, like, RuPaul. There's like a
Elton
few.
John.
Elton John. That's like, Madonna.
That'd be great. I bought a cameo from Lindsay Lohan for $200.
I bought one from Rachel Dolezal for $79.99. True story.
Mine too. Yeah. Was it worth it?
It was funny, yeah.
Fuck, mine wasn't.
No?
Wasn't funny. I wrote a whole funny script for her to congratulate me on 100K followers and bust my balls, and she just didn't do any of the jokes, and her lighting was bad. Couldn't even tell it was her. She fucking wished me good luck, said, like, follow your dreams, just all the shit I didn't want, and yeah. I was like, this is unusable.
Yeah.
Well, I wanted fucking, and she looked real.
You should have just instructed her to pretend like she was black. She would have knocked it out of the park. If I would have just said on the cameo, just act like, just tell us you're black. She would have been like, here's the thing. I identify. I am. I still am. I still am. I mean, give that girl credit, dude. She is still.
I know.
You watch her documentary where she's going like, I don't care what y'all say. I'm black. And you're going like, you, to me, she is. I'm going like, you know what? No. Fuck it. You are.
Wow. Really?
Yeah. I mean, there's got to be a statute of limitations of like, if you get away with it for like 10 years, there should be like a point where you're going like, all right, she's back. And the way she was able to fool, I'm more impressed with other dudes who are like Sean King. He's probably not.
Yeah.
I'm more impressed with him because at least with her, I understand how she got away with it for so long because she's got a big fat ass. And so, like, that's kind of like, you know when they say you lose to the Yankees because you can't see past the pinstripes?
Yeah.
That's like when brothers see a fat ass, they just go, like, they just distract it. You know what I mean? It's like the Yankee pinstripes.
Wow.
They can't, so it's like, she must be black. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so she got away with it.
She did.
She went to black school. I mean, it's hilarious.
She could start doing stand-up.
She needs to do something. Fans only or something, because I feel like right now, I feel bad for
fans only? Is that the OnlyFans competitor?
Oh, I don't know what it's called. OnlyFans?
OnlyFans.
Yeah. You know that a little too quick. You corrected me quick.
Every now and then I look down on my thumbs being like, how much could I get for these? Too many fucking cuts and blisters.
Yeah, I heard that producer on, one of the producers, I think, on Fighter and the Kid, she has like a OnlyFans page or whatever. Like,
unreal.
Crushing it.
Yo. No judgment. All I am is jealous.
Hell yeah, dude.
Giannis Papas, you're the fucking man, dude. Long days with Yanni. GiannisPappas.com for tour dates.
GiannisPappasComedy.com for tour dates. And yeah, watch the special Blowing the Light and check me out. I appreciate it. This was fun, Adam. Thank you.
This is awesome, dude. I love you.